This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth and a quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Glory to you, Jesus. Glory to you, Jesus. Glory to you, Jesus. Glory to you, Jesus. Honor to you, Son of God. We give you praise. Lord, I receive mercy this day. I receive help from your presence. I receive grace on the occasion that we, your people, have brought sacrifices of praise and sacrifice of rejoicing, sacrifice of thanksgiving to you, Jesus. You will come down and bless us, Jesus. Jesus, you will cause me to be connected to your throne, Jesus, that I might bring blessing upon your people, Lord. I might bring great grace upon your people, Lord. That you cause heaven to be open over us, Jesus. That you distill upon us great help in the Spirit, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Thank you that heavens are open, Jesus. Light is shining, Son of God. Glory to you, Jesus. Honor to you, Son of God. In the name of Jesus. We honor you, Jesus. Thank you, our Father. Glory to you, Lord. In Jesus' name we are praying. Glory to you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you in Jesus' name. I want to exhort us on a blessing of mercy. I'm seeing a lot of area I need to have victory. So any beauty that you see is the work of God. And that work is the work of mercy. So we read Psalm 90 from verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our heart to wisdom. That we may apply our heart unto wisdom. To apply our heart unto wisdom is to apply our heart to the life called Christ in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. They say, but of him are you in Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom. So that's what they make Christ. They make Christ as a wisdom. When they say we should apply our heart to wisdom, it's not to apply our heart to forex. Or to apply our act to, oh boy, you need to be wise, though. You need to be wise, though. Those wisdom are wisdom from fallen spirits. If a Bible primarily does not call those things what men call them, you find that in that book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. They classify those things in 1 Corinthians 2. They said that my faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I believe we speak wisdom among that are perfect. Yeah, not the wisdom of this world. So there's the wisdom of man. There's the wisdom of this world. And again, there's the wisdom of the princes of this world. So there are three wisdom.
On
earth.
Wisdom of man.
Wisdom of this world.
And wisdom of the princes of this world.
And all this wisdom, a man can learn them. Or a man can apply his heart. When you see in that Psalm 90, verse 12, they told us to apply our heart, not our mind. When you learn things in school, what is learning is your brain. At most, you can move beyond the brain and go into the window of the soul.
which is the mind. Because the mind is very close to our body. Our mind is very close to our body. But it's not easy to move the learning of earthly wisdom where a man can push it. People that push it to that height, they will have a lot of breakthroughs in the arena of things that Satan has designed to hold men in bondage. A man may apply his brain, but when a man can use his mind, for example, those who have the wisdom of men, because wisdom of men, it is here, it's not the wisdom of God, it's men. When you see the last man, according to the kingdom that Daniel saw, was the man with the head of gold. And that was the king of Babylon. Babylon was a kingdom that had a kind of the wisdom of men. After Babylon, every other kingdom that came after Babylon, we are not wisdom of men. They have moved further into wisdom of this world. Because king of Babylon, they changed his heart. But every other one, we are beasts. Because what this wisdom outside God, outside Christ, make men to become more beastly. You cease to be a man. You see, the man that God created was living so. A man, I mean, heart and mind that is living. All that is alive to God. That can respond to God. That can obey God. But so you see that from the after Babylon, you move to Media and Persia. You move to Greece. From Greece, you move into what? Again, Rome. And from Rome, you have the 10 toes. Who are today Europe? A lot of them. Almost all of them have changed their names into what used to be in those days. But I'm telling you that wisdom of men are very high wisdom. King of Babylon says, see what I built. But what they want to apply our heart to is not the wisdom of men or to the wisdom of this world or to the wisdom of the princes of this world. I want to tell you, everybody is raising. Everybody on earth is raising to attain or to bring their mind, their heart into this wisdom of men, the wisdom of this world, and the wisdom of the princes of this world. Many men, they are hastening, they are running towards that. A lot of investments are there. I did not know that those wisdom bring to bondage. Those wisdom bring into captivity. And when everybody on earth are learning those wisdom, every man on earth are learning the wisdom of men. The wisdom of men are designed by fallen principalities and powers. And wisdom of this world are designed by rulers of the darkness of this world. The wisdom of this world by the rulers of this world. Then, the wisdom of princes are the wisdom of spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, what do they call them? Princes. It's called Satan is the prince of this world. The prince of this world. But you have princes which are spiritual wickedness in high places. So when you say when you read about the wisdom of men, it's not the wisdom that God designed for man to live by. It's not the wisdom that God lives in so, but it's the wisdom that principalities and falling power designed to make men obey the law of sin and death. What makes you to obey sin? What makes you to obey sin is the wisdom of men. Because there's no way you can do, when I say sin, sin not as fornication, but sin as a design of life. Sin as life. For you to be able to do sin as life, to see what Satan has exalted as life, What Satan has prescribed as life. Men call many things under the sun as life. What men call life, men see their job as their life. They see what they see the work of their hand, what they do under the sun. They see it as their life. Men see their possession as their life. Those things, they are the wisdom of men. And do not know that the beings that design that wisdom are principalities and powers. Because the Bible says, wisdom is the principal things. In all you're getting, get wisdom. There are wisdom that are with men that we are given by principality and power. Men are using it as their life, but not to them. What is the life that was designed? That life is what they call sin. Like Paul was saying in the book of Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, and not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave his life to me. Beyond works of the flesh. Oftentimes, why we do works of the flesh is because there is a life we wanted to protect. Because we don't want to follow the path of brokenness. Because it's not easy for a man to subscribe to the life that will break him. Break you and sever you from arrangement of life that man knows that. Man has designed many things around us. When you should finish school, when you should marry, everything, when you should have children, when you should die. All those things are wisdom of man. If when you reach some age, you start preparing for to die. Because you feel that life must be fulfilling you. You look forward to it. People will start talking, they say, when they start talking to their children, start talking, you know, all those things, you see it as a normal life. They are the power by the law of sin and death. That's what they call sin. And that make you to do many things. That make you to have haste. That make you hasty. That make you to start to have fear. That make you to be running. When no man is pursuing you, you are running, you are running, you are running, you are running. You don't know how to wait. How to be patient. Because you are in there, you feel, I don't have all the time. But where did I learn that thing from? What is keeping me running? I'm running. I would say, the wicked man running when no man pursued him. And when you see a man not running, what you're running, you say that other person does not have enough passion. Because you equate that thing to passion. Passion is of God. But God did not give us our passion to pursue that we make us to aspire. Because there are things that we pursue that inspire us. They inspire our strength. Because after you have done that, there's no longer strength in you to able to please God. Because the strength that God gives to the soul to please him, we have inspired it in looking for all that thing that life prescribed to us, that's our life. But I can come to you and say, don't pursue it, don't pursue it, don't pursue it. People will not change. He does not stop them from not pursuing it. Because why? That is a wisdom that is in them. It's a wisdom. That is a sin. But they don't see that a sin is a wisdom. What's a wisdom? It is a walk of light on their inside. It has informed and designed and shaped the way they read. That thing is not written in any book. It's not they wake up and read a book. Any other book that they went to go and read in school, or they are reading motivation book, or they are reading any book, is just trying to confirm what they have been written on their inside already. It's a wisdom that's within them. It's a wisdom through the course of this world, through the training that men are subjected to learn what? A life that sin has designed. Because what wisdom does, wisdom builds. I would say, by wisdom, it's an house built. So wisdom of men is what? Is a wisdom that wants to build you like men. Because that's what this world calls men.
And everybody want to match up to that thing. Come here. And you cannot arrive at what this world. Come here. Except you use that wisdom. This wisdom will tell you if you want to be a man. Because it's a man. It's a man that this world has designed. It's a kind of woman this world has designed. It's a kind of a pastor this world has designed. It's a kind of a church this world has designed. It's a kind of life that this world has designed. And the essence of the wisdom of men is that there's an attainment. But those men, God see those men as grasses. But Satan called them as men. But in God's sight, he sees them as grasses that withered. He sees them and he sees their goodness. He sees their glory. They are men with glory. He sees their glory as the flower of the field. So that wisdom will build souls, it will build men. When you see those men, they are loud on earth. They are loud on earth. They are loud on earth. And Satan makes sure that they are displayed across human facets. Satan makes sure that they are even displayed in ministry. Even when you are doing church work, Satan makes sure that he positions around you men that the wisdom of this world has raised. They are using wisdom of men to do ministry. He has placed them in every face of life. Even he has designed some of them as model of marriage. God's institution that God designed. Satan has decided to do what? To do caricature and make sure the wisdom of men raise standard for men to subscribe to. There's every likelihood when you see what wisdom of men have raised, you will desire it. Your guys were talking to Peter. He said, Peter, that sovereignty that be of men and not of God. When Peter said, you will not die. You will not die. So Jesus said, Peter, get behind me, Satan, for you savor the thing that be of men. What does it mean to savor the things of men? Savor the life that the wisdom of men has crafted and designed. You savor it. Why is Peter afraid that Jesus will die? After following a man for 3 years, and you saw him raise a man that was dead for 4 days and stinking. If that man tell you that he's going to be taken by a sinner and going to die, you should never doubt that if he could raise a dead of 3 to 4 days, I was thinking, how much more? You have read from your forefather. You have read in the Torah, prophet are lower than him. In fact, he came out from your mouth. You said, thou Christ, the son of the living God. Are you saying that the living God cannot raise him back again? But Peter said, be far from you. Because why? There is a hope that Peter had. That the death of Jesus will not make that hope come to pass anymore. What Peter was trying to defend, it was not because he loved Jesus. Why Peter was so zealous and said, Jesus should not die. It's not because he's so interested in Jesus. It's just that Jesus, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? That I will be, because they have argued before that, who will be the greatest in the kingdom when they can finally set up the cabinets and choose ambassadorial seats? That was why Peter was very fine for you. I've left my fishing business and follow you, 30 years old boy. And you want to leave me in the middle of the road? So it was not because he cared so much about Jesus. So he told him, he said, Peter, get behind me. For that's all the things of men, things that men have designed. That is what you want. That's what you want. What you want, a vision have been carried in your heart. That thing that you design your heart is the thing that men savor. And that thing that men savor is sin. You say, is it not good to wish a man not to die? Someone says, he's going to be taken by sinner and be key. And the man says, you fight back for you. Is it not a good wish? To wish that will not be for you. But to Peter was thinking that he's doing service to Jesus. But to Joker say, what you are just designing is a thing of Satan. Satan is the one that thinks like that. His satanic agenda that want to be done. It's not what is of God. And that is what every man under the sun and under the wisdom of man. That wisdom of man teaches us, because behind every lust of the eyes, behind every lust of the flesh, behind the pride of life is the wisdom that's officiating it. When you see 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he says, brethren, I my brethren, behold your callings. How that not many wise men after the flesh. God does not hate men. When they want to respond to their call, they will take them for the wisdom after the flesh. Not many wise men after the flesh. Not many mighty after the flesh. Not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world. Can you say of the world? The wise things of the world. The weak things of the world. The world. Chosen the mighty things of the world. Chosen the weak things of the world. To confirm things which are mighty. Mighty things of the world. And best things of the world. And things which are despised are God chosen. Yea. And things which are not will bring to naught. Things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence. What I call life is the kind of car you can ride. What I call life is where you can enter and among those who you roll with. What I call life is who is on the table. Is to enter table and have a seat with cream de la cream. There's nothing bad if the Lord brings you there. But those are ambition of some souls. Those are the passion of some souls. Some people, they take their children from nursery one or from Christ and they start putting them in kind of school so they can meet some kind of children. And they doctor it until their degree. They also make sure that when we want to go and leave, they want to make sure to go and get the house and live amidst them so that they can marry each other. And you say, where does those wisdom come from? Those wisdom does not come from above. But these are wisdom that descend from beneath. I was like that. I was just like that. I was a miserable soul. Going to perish. I was just a miserable soul. Going to perish. A soul that wisdom of this world, wisdom of man, is governing that soul. Then something happened. Something that turned the whole thing around was mercy. It was mercy. Mercy was what changed the game. Because there is nothing that can deliver a man for wisdom of man. Wisdom of this world. Neither the wisdom of the princes or the power of this world. There's nothing. You can never think yourself out of it. You cannot pray yourself out of it. If it's about prayer, if a wisdom of this world can design a religion for you. And you see that as a life. So wisdom of man is what they call sin. Sin is when you go deeper that you see sin as works of the flesh. But sin is a wisdom. Sin is a life that was designed that we naturally desire it. What I paid for you now, don't you want it? Now you can say that pastor don't want it anymore. Why you don't longer want it? Because you have obtained mercy. Why you don't see life like that? Even and you are not the only one. David also desired the same thing. David said, when you look at the prosperity of the wicked, how their cheek look fresh. How they do their pedicure and makeup, and how they do their facial. How everything, how they lush. When you see their laundry of their garden, it's so green. When you see the kind of car, and you see the applause of men, when you see a month of wealth they are controlling. Which to have a house is not bad. But those things, Satan exalted those things to see them as a life. That anytime you don't have those things, and you we are around those who have those things, you feel inferior. You feel that your life is not complete. You feel that life has shortchanged you. You feel that life has not done you well. You feel that God has not really helped you. Because what you sum up as a life, like Jesus told that young brother that came to him, tell my brother to divide me the inheritance. Jesus told that young brother, for the life of a man does not consist in the abundance of things. So Satan, the wisdom of this world, or the wisdom of man, see life as things. That's the essence of the wisdom of man. See life as things that you have. Nobody see life as more valuable than being a billionaire. A lot of people would rather choose to be billionaire. In fact, we hurt our heads. We overwork ourselves so that we can have money. And now start using money to take care of the heads. We don't see living healthy as things. So when you are with somebody that has a billion and you are living good heads, you are healthy, you don't see yourself as you have anything. Because to us, we don't see being healthy as a thing. And living healthy is a blessing of God. Because sin has emphasized things for us. Sin has exalted many, many things like that. So how did man arrive at that? It was the wisdom of man. Because why? What man savor are not things of God. In that Psalm 90, that for verse 12, it is until you begin to apply your heart to wisdom, not the wisdom of men, not the wisdom of this world, not the wisdom of the prince of this world, but the wisdom that God has ordained. And that wisdom is Christ, the learning of Christ, that you will start returning. He said, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our heart unto wisdom. Return, oh Lord. How long? God does not return. When God wants to return to you? To you. God will cause you to start applying your heart to wisdom called Christ. Return, oh Lord. How long? For you to be a person that even desire the Lord to return. Many people don't desire the Lord to return. So that heart is not looking for the Lord to return. The cry of that soul is not Maranatha. What's my daughter? Come, Lord, come. It's not come. There's no desire for the Lord to come. He's not looking for the Lord to come. That man has said, the Lord, come. I'm not talking about rapture. And the Lord's coming now. Lord, come and make, come and live in me. Like Malachi chapter 2 said. Malachi, is it 2 or 3? Said, the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly return or come to his temple. The Holy Ghost is living in your spirit. And Holy Ghost have come to prepare you through the wisdom so that the Lord can return. The Lord want to return. That one of the things that usually reside in Psalm 132. Whenever the priest usually render it, they say, return, O Lord, thou and the ark of thy mind to your 10,000 of thousands. Return. Return, O Lord, thou tower to the 10,000. Return 10,000 there are people because whenever the children of Israel camp in the wilderness and when it's rested, he said, return, oh Lord, unto many thousands in number 10:36. And it came to pass when the ark set forth, and Moses said, rise up, Lord, and let thy enemy be scattered, and let them that hate thee flee before thee. And when the ark is rested, he said, return, oh Lord, unto many thousands of Israel. So many people don't desire the Lord. You know how many of your colleagues that don't look for the Lord? Even when they go to church, they are not interested in the Lord. They don't want the Lord to come. They don't want to learn the wisdom that is by mercy. They are not interested in it. There's no interest in those things. But here, he's saying, return in verse 13. Return, oh Lord. How long? This is a soul that desires the Lord's return. Are you not tired? Are you not tired of this life, living this body? Essence of the writing of Paul from Romans 5 to Romans 8 was the cry of Paul. In Romans chapter 7, he said, oh, wretched man I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death? That Romans chapter 7. In Romans 8, he said, oh, he called it the bondage of the body of this death. In Romans 8, he called it the bondage of corruption. He said, I groan to be delivered. And there's no deliverance because deliverance is with the Lord coming. Some of us, we are not interested. There's no growing in us because we don't want the Lord. Some of us, we rather want to stay on earth for another 1,000 years than want the Lord to come. We rather stay on earth and make sure that when we are on earth, we are carrying out our profession and we are having a good life here. Let the Lord to return. We don't want the Lord to return. We don't want the Lord to come. Many pastors don't want the Lord to return back to church because they are profiting. You know, your guy spoke about that parable about a man that wanted to go to a distant country. The man went to a distant country to receive a kingdom to himself. And when he was about to return, he gave his vineyard to a servant to help him keep taking care of until when he come. And when he return, he will give them what belongs to them. Because everybody has what they're going to take when you cultivate. So he will give it to them, what belongs to them. That you give back to them. Immediately the man traveled, the servant came together and said, he has gone to, he said, we won't let him rule over us. We are not expecting to rule over us. He has gone to take his, let him stay there. Let us make sure we are manning the vineyard there. You going to go and receive a far kingdom, a kingdom from a far country. The kingdom you are going to receive your kingdom and be enjoy your kingdom here. Eh? Your kingdom, far country, be ruling over them. We too, yeah, let us be enjoying ourselves here. You know, that's division of labor. Division of labor. You have gone to receive a far country, stay in your far country and be enjoying yourself there. He said, this is the kingdom you're going to receive. Stay there, be ruling over there. But don't come back and rule over us. This is what I put in the vineyard, though. And at every time, the man will send his servant. When he says servant, they keep on killing those servants. Because they are not interested. Eventually, he said he sent his son and they kill him. So we can see that people don't want the Lord to return. Then you can read it in the Bible and say, I'm not like that. Boy, brother, you can't say you're not like that, my brother. It is what the wisdom of this world. Is it what the wisdom of the priest of this world? Is what the wisdom of the priest of this world are taught as a life to the soul. But when we need to apply our heart to the wisdom of the holy, so it's not easy to apply the wisdom of the holy to your soul. It must be the vision of God's mercy to you as a people. So you say, return, O Lord, how long? And let it depend thee concerning thy servants. Thy servant, the man that want to serve the Lord. Oh, salve us early with thy mercies. This used to be my prayer. I used to pray in those days. I don't know many prayers to pray. I remember when I used to pray this prayer, 1995, 1996, 1997, 1998, 1999. I heard that prayer first of all from the mouth of Bishop Walioke. He was praying for our daughter that went to be with the Lord. He said, I pray for you that you enjoy early satisfaction of God's mercy. He said, there's nothing that for a man or a soul to enjoy early satisfaction of mercy. If today you are able to apply your heart to a wisdom, the wisdom of the holy, it's because they are satisfied you with mercy. Because everybody under the sun, everybody on earth are governed by the wisdom of this world. Every man under the sun, they have applied their heart, their mind, or their body to the wisdom of this world. They have seen a vision of what this world, the promise that this world can offer them, just like Satan threw Jesus to the high mountain and shown the glory of this world. And said, just fall down and worship, I will give it to you. But you can say, it's written, that shall worship the Lord thy God, and he alone shall you serve. If to live, you are beginning to fear and know. He said, return in that Psalm 90. He said, return, oh Lord. How long? How long? Let me repair the concern thy servants. Many people are not serving God, though. Because one of the things that God is particular to raise on earth this day. One thing I know that is passionate in the heart of God. God wants to raise servants. God wants to raise from the churches. Servant of the word of God. God wants to raise from the churches. Servant of the testimony of Jesus. God wants to raise from the church. Servant of the book of prophecy. These are different degrees of servant because that is what they told John, the revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave unto him to show unto his servant things that must surely come to pass and send it and signify it what, by his angel unto his servant John. And servant John went to go and receive the last parchments, which is the word, the saying of the book of prophecy. So into his servant John. So God wants to raise. God wants to raise different servants. Yeah. Servant of the word of God. Yeah. Servant of the word of God. Yeah. God wants to raise servant of the testimony of Jesus. Yeah. God wants to raise servant of the oath of God. Yeah. Servant of prophecy. Different level of servants. But you cannot have servant. He said, Lord, how long, O Lord? How long, O Lord? Let it repent be consigned thy servant. Oh, salve us early with thy mercy. What every servant needs is mercy. What everybody wants to be a servant, either the servant of the word of God, the servant of the testimony of Jesus Christ, or the servant of the saying of the book of old is mercy. The more the Lord hold back, the more mercy is far from us. Our cry must be that we want to serve God. Apostle Peter said it in 1 Peter chapter 1. He said, men are not interested to serve God. Men want to serve their own lust. In 1 Peter chapter 4. For he that has ceased from sin, what he calls sin there is life. Everybody is serving sin. That's just why he wrote Romans 5, Romans 6, Romans 7. That you no longer be servant to sin. But you also move to become servant of righteousness. From righteousness to become servant of holiness. For holiness to become servants of God unto life everlasting. That's what was building from Romans 5, 6, 7. Because every man are servant of sin. We are servant of uncleanness. Uncleanness, they are servant of iniquity unto iniquity. For God to be able to win a man from serving sin, serving this world. This world is recruiting servants. And many souls, many Christians, we are servants of this present world. We are servants of this world. His mercy must intercourse and so. Teach us to number our days that may apply our heart to wisdom. So wisdom, that when you to learn Christ, you are learning wisdom to be a servant of Christ. So, and the heart will serve Christ. When you serve Christ, you serve Christ. In the book of Romans chapter 14, say, they that's in this thing serveth Christ. Romans 14, 18. For he that is in this thing, what? In this thing, righteousness, peace. For he that in this thing serveth Christ is acceptable to God. God will not allow you to be a servant of God if you have not served Christ. And you cannot serve Christ until you have obtained mercy. And they call it satisfying you with early mercy. You know, some of you are in your early 30s. Some of you are less than your 30s. Some of us are in our 40s. Some of us are even in our early 50s. If you're in your early 50s, it's a great mercy. Because God's blessed with extra 30, 50, 40 years. And God wants you, the way you have suffered, according to that first Peter, for the time past our life, so far that to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. When we walk in lavishness, lust, essence of wine, rather than banquet and abominable idols. So we can see that to serve, we have been serving lust of men. And what taught us to serve lust of men is the wisdom of men. But when visitation of wisdom of the Holy Spirit visits us at the return of the Lord to us, then and we need to apply our heart to that wisdom to make us to be, and we say that God should not repent. And let him repent concerning the servants. Oh, servant with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Rejoicing and praising God this day. This is the service of rejoicing. A part of praising the Lord. But you must know that this rejoicing is not because, like Jacob told the Jews that came to him, what have you gone to the wilderness to see? A man clothed in purple? What have you gone to the wilderness to go and see? A man, have you gone to the wilderness to see? A man that is eating delicate things. What have you gone to the wilderness to see? He asked them, what have you gone to see? What are we celebrating? He said, is it a man that is clothed with purple? Is it a man that is celebrating? He said, no, no. They that wear purple and that are clothed in silks, they are in palaces. The man you have gone to see the wilderness, they don't celebrate such men. They don't celebrate them. They are not in palaces. It's a man that obtained mercy. Because one of the prophecies that came about the father of John, that the tender mercy on earth has visited us. He was a being of mercy. He was a man that obtained mercy. What they went to see the wilderness was a man that brought the tender mercy of God, the Lord. What they went to celebrate the wilderness was a man that the tender mercy of the Lord came to. And when they were describing this man, that mercy, his ministry, is that he will turn the hearts of the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. God, what that tender mercy carries, what the tender mercy brought to the nation of the earth, what the tender mercy brought was what is to turn men to the wisdom of the just. Any mercy that does not turn you to wisdom of the job, you have, that mercy is not enough mercy for you. Mercy should turn you to the wisdom. The more mercy you are obtaining, you should be moving from wisdom to the wisdom. Just as the tender mercy of the wicked, just as the tender mercy of the wicked is correct, likewise is the wisdom of the Holy One, likewise the wisdom of the just, likewise is the wisdom of God. It's about to turn you, keep turning you, until you are turned from flesh to spirit. And they turn you from corruption to incorruptible. Amen. Until they turn you from defiled person to undefiled. They turn you from a man that's undefiled into a man that cannot fade away. Amen. You should keep enjoying mercy and keep enjoying mercy until you hear the divine nature. Amen. That's your inheritance. A nature that you cannot, you attain a state where you are sinless. You are sinless. Anything outside that is not the inheritance of the saints. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Let's see an example of a man that find mercy. And what mercy made out of him. We are talking about everlasting life. Everlasting life is not a thing that
can just be minister anyhow. You see, everlasting life, you obtain mercy, it should cause you to turn. So what we are rejoicing, what we are praising the Lord for, is because of mercy, God's people. You know that if you continue reading that Psalm 90, after I talk about mercy there, it says, let the beauty of the Lord be seen upon us. If you're in beauty, you are seen in today's celebration, it's mercy in that 90. Make us glad. Come to the days when they have afflicted us and the year when they have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servant. Can you say again, servants? When will we stop serving sin, serving death, serving unrighteousness, and serving things that pass away? Let thy work appear to thy servants, and let thy glory unto their children. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. If we are celebrating any goodness, or if there's any good in me, it's because mercy orchestrated the heart to apply to the wisdom of the holy. And by the wisdom of the holy, he that was once disobedient became obedient to the faith. He started obeying. Because whosoever you obey, so servant you are. So what, when he said, when he talked about the coming of John the Baptist is the tender mercy from the discipline of I visit you. He said, he shall turn the heart of the disobedience to the wisdom of the just. Wisdom of the just. To begin to inquire, to do, and to serve faith that justify. And from serving faith that justify, you serve from faith to faith on the soul is made godly. And the soul can find that mercy. You find it in this 1 Timothy chapter 1 from verse 12. Look, these are the things we should be thanking God for. 1 Timothy 1, 12. Just as that Psalm 90 verse 12. I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who have enabled me. This is Paul thanking Jesus. As I'm also thanking Jesus, and you are thanking Jesus for yourself and for me this day. Therefore, he has counted me faithful, putting me into ministry. It's God that counted me faithful. That's why I say, all those things, is not any man can boast of those things. So I can't boast. I can't take the glory. It's not that he enabled me. I was just a guy that doesn't have a direction. I was enabled. I find mercy. Enable me. And what did he enable me? For that he can't tell me faithful, put him into ministry. Who was before a blasphemer? He was a wisdom that raised him to be a blasphemer. A persecutor. An injurious. But I'll tell mercy. Because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. There was no faith in me. But to address that in the same faith. And what brought faith was mercy. And the grace of our Lord, was exceedingly abundant with faith and love. So whenever you want to detach a man from the way of death, from the wisdom of men, the wisdom of this world, and the wisdom of the prince of this world, whenever you want to help a soul, what does this do to him? What does it do for him? What? The grace of God that's exceedingly abundant with faith and love comes on him. That was in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy, of all aspects, as what? Acceptation. That Christ Jesus, came unto the world to save us sinners. Oh, woman, what? I am the chief. I was the chief of all sinners. But wisdom visited me. Mercy came and I find wisdom. This is a famous saying. And whatever acceptation that Christ Jesus came unto the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So your salvation, your birth was mercy. That is Ephesians 2:5. But God said, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherein he has loved us. What make you to be born again? Because you obtain mercy. It was a mercy that visited you. There's no way you could have accepted your Christ as your Lord and personal Savior except mercy visited you. Many people have heard preaching, but they have not turned. And mercy that started the work, supposed to keep turning you until you receive the promise of life everlasting. Go back to that Timothy. This is a faithful saying and worthy of our acceptation that Christ Jesus came unto the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. Albeit, look at it again. For the purpose to save chief of all sinners, say, albeit, for this cause, obtain mercy. That in me, first, Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering. What is love of him? For a pattern to them who should hereafter believe on him, to life everlasting.
Today, we can stand there and talk about life everlasting. I can stand. Throughout the year, for the past 365 days, I've been, God has shown mercy to teach me of the word, teach Christ, and teach things everlasting. It's mercy. I obtain mercy. Any beauty and the work you are seeing is purely mercy work. It's mercy. Lest any man should boast that God will demonstrate mercy. What the Lord is doing amidst us is in Isaiah 55. Because he showed mercies of David. That a people can move not just partaking of just the word of God alone. A people can move not just partaking of the testimony of Jesus. But a people can move to partake much more of the sayings of the book. All these things, heaven will execute it with mercy. It's mercy. They are couched in mercy. They are the working of mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even after you have received life everlasting, when it's time for you to receive eternal life, your reward, they say, keep yourself in the love of God and keep looking for the mercy of Jesus unto eternal life. What got you saved is mercy. What will keep visiting you, mercy, time mercy come to you, mercy will turn you to wisdom. You move from the wisdom of Christ into the wisdom of the Son of God. You move from the wisdom of the Son of God, you move into the hidden wisdom, even the wisdom of life everlasting. If anything you desire this day, desire to have mercy. But as I say, I will have mercy upon those, I will have mercy upon. And I will show compassion on them. I will show compassion on God. This was the word of the Lord to Moses. When Moses was designed that he wanted to see God's glory, he said, this is what you are asking for is couch in mercy. This thing is totally designed with mercy. And that work of God is a work of wisdom. And that wisdom of God came as a result of extension of mercy. That this work will make prosperity. I heard a man that designed mercy one time. He said, mercy is on fast readings. It's on fast. He said, God eagerness to do you good. God is just eager to do you good. God is just eager to do you good. Everything I've enjoyed so far is like this eagerness in God to do me good. And God will increase that eagerness in his heart the more. And that said, you extended to every soul here in the name of Jesus. As it extended to you all. I say you will truly enjoy this mercy in the name of Jesus. Can you just stand up and be on your feet this afternoon?
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinyosiyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.